Financial independence. Is it a scam? That's probably how I would have reacted to those words 12 or 13 years ago. But now that I have learned about it and that I have actually implemented and achieved financial independence, I have become a big proponent of it. And that is because financial independence is something that most people actually aspire to, but never really think about it because we don't even know it exists. So what is financial independence really? In this episode, we go back to the basics and explore various definitions of financial independence. Of course, we discuss the goal of financial independence, but we also discuss the journey towards financial independence. We discuss all the incredible benefits that we can build along the journey, from a greater sense of security to a greater control over how we spend our time and resources and energy. If you're new to the FIRE movement, or to financial independence in general, then this episode is for you. Hi, and welcome back to the FIRE Belgium show. My name is Sebastian, and I am your host for this video podcast. This is the second episode. I hope you enjoyed the first one. It was rather short, just an introduction to what the FIRE Belgium show is going to be all about. In this episode, I want to start with something that's sort of the basic of what is financial independence. So if you're completely new to financial independence, I'm hoping you're going to enjoy, I'm hoping you're going to learn a lot from this episode. And if you are really familiar with financial independence, then I recommend you share this episode with someone who doesn't know anything about it. Because the idea here is to introduce the concept, explain why it's important. So we're going to talk about the benefits, what it is in general, and also how to start. And then depending on how much time it takes me to do that, we might talk about the misconceptions around financial independence, or we keep that for another episode. We'll see. We'll see depending on how long it takes. So as you know, as you can see, I'm learning about video podcasting. I'm not really sure how long this is going to be, and I'll be flexible around this, and I hope you can be with me as well. All right. So what is financial independence? Financial independence is something that has a lot of different meanings depending on the context. In this case, I am clearly speaking about financial independence in the context of personal finance. So what it means for an individual to pursue and reach financial independence. And I went and I looked around the internet to see what kind of definitions there were. And I brought them all together and I selected a few that I like. And as you can see, as you will see, there are a few different variations of something that is sort of similar, that conveys a similar sense of not depending on work income to live, for example, right? But let's go through them one by one and see what are the differences and how, like what they mean exactly. All right, so first one I thought was nice is financial independence is the fact that we don't have to rely on others to meet our financial needs. So here, there's a strong emphasis on not having to rely on others to be financially okay. So it's really about the independence on others. And this is where that's the focus of this definition. And so, for example, that would mean that you don't depend on your employer for your income. You don't depend on your clients for your income. You could take it further and say, well, you don't depend on the social system for paying for your expenses. So you probably don't rely on things like unemployment benefits or maybe even the health insurance and social security system. Maybe, right? Depends on how far you want to take this, but that's sort of that you could look at it that way. You can also look at it from a more simpler way and simply say, not having to rely on others to meet your financial needs. That could be also the example of someone who's been studying and finally gets a job and move from being dependent on his or her parents to not being dependent on them, and so gain financial independence. And to me, that's part of the definition. So as we will discuss later, financial independence to me is a journey, it's a spectrum, and we progress on that journey, and at each level, we gain financial independence. So to me, when you get your first job and you don't depend on your parents anymore, that is already a certain level of financial independence. And I think this definition here reflects that a bit, although it wasn't probably intended. another definition that's really interesting to discuss is having enough recurring passive income to pay for your living expenses for the rest of your life without needing to work. So here we're talking about recurring passive income, which is basically when we're getting income from a one or several sources without having to work for it, either because we've invested in a certain way that makes it that we receive this income, or we've created something that sells itself automatically through a specific system, like, I don't know, books or something that just keeps creating revenue over time. Or we've built a business that we've completely outsourced, automated, and someone else is dealing with it, and we just get some revenue of it, some of the profit or something like this. So here we introduce recurring passive income as a concept. And I think it's an important one that we don't always discuss in financial independence community in the general sense. Often people refer to financial independence from the sense of having a certain net worth, right? But I think you can also look at it from just having, you know, a solid basis of recurring passive income. And when I say recurring, it's something that is not likely to deplete if you stop doing anything with it. So it's finding a way to create income without having to work for it on an ongoing basis. And it's really hard to do. Some people even argue that there's no real passive income. I think there are ways, as I said, books is one way, although it's not forever, right? So books will sell for some time, and some very good books will just sell good for a long period of time, but many books will just peak and then decline in terms of the revenue. It depends. And then stock market index investing is a solid way of creating that, although it's not exactly passive income, but it can be compared to it. We'll discuss this later as well. And then, yeah, the question of not having to work, right? I think this is a big part of financial independence movement. The way people think about this is having the choice, not having to work. So another definition that is linked to this is having the choice to work or not, and having the freedom to decide what to do with our time without the usual money constraints. It's kind of my definition. but it's about having the choice as to whether or not to spend time working for money. And that is obviously possible when we have financial independence, which is when we have a source of income that pays for our living expenses, right? But to me, financial independence comes with this mindset of having the choice and the freedom to decide to work or not to work. And I'm saying this because I think you could also look at very rich people who have the choice to work or not to work, but they don't know they do have the choice. And while they are technically financially independent, they don't have the mindset for it, in the sense that they don't know, or they misunderstand maybe the concepts, or they think they need far more than what they already have. But there are many people who are very wealthy who are financially independent technically, but they're not in the sense of what we talk about in the financial independence community, because they just keep going, right? They're on the hamster wheel, and it's just a much bigger hamster wheel. And they keep going, where they could probably make a few changes in their life and relax, and, you know, probably load off a lot of stress and just relax and pursue things that maybe are more meaningful to them, etc. But this is just my perspective on maybe very wealthy people. I may be wrong. And then another definition that I found was having accumulated a nest egg big enough that you can withdraw from it and live from it indefinitely. So here we refer to having enough capital, having a net worth that is big enough that we can use some of it, withdraw from it, and use that for expenses. So here we don't really talk about a passive income stream per se as a way of funding, but really like a total amount of money. And there's some truth to this, right? Obviously, in the financial business community, we talk a lot about the 4% rule of thumb, which is a way of looking at your investment portfolio and saying which basically explains that we can withdraw a certain amount from this portfolio without the portfolio going down to zero over very long periods of time, thanks to the growth of that portfolio over time. But this definition here really focuses on the total value of your investment. And I think it's a little, it has some truth to it, but having a lot of money doesn't necessarily mean that you can live from it indefinitely, unless you've invested it in a very good way that is good long-term and optimized for taxes and costs and everything. And so I think it goes beyond just accumulating a lot. It requires a certain strategy to withdraw from it in a way that sustains that money long term and that is quite efficient in the way it's, you know, it's basically transferred from a big wealth to some kind of income to pay for your expenses. But certainly the idea here is it reflects what the community is working towards in many cases, which is increasing your net worth so that it gets to a certain size, a certain amount from which you can withdraw for a long period of time without that money disappearing, right? Ideally until you pass away or until it goes to your next generation or anything like that. So as you can see, there's lots of different definitions. And I would say mine is more the one that looks at financial independence as a way to regain control over how we spend our time and energy. And it just happens that, yes, accumulating wealth allows us to do that. And yes, optimizing it for long-term returns, effort withdrawal allows us to do that. And having passive income allows us to do that. Managing your living expenses allows us to do that. But to me, it's really about the freedom to decide what to do with your time and energy and where you put your focus without money being the main criteria, right? So it's really this independence from the usual financial constraints that really drive me, that drive me to financial independence. And that's also what I see as the core part of it. And I would say that it's not like financial independence is not something that's either you have or you don't. Control over how you spend your time and energy and focus is something that can come even if you're not technically financially independent, and that you can build gradually, right? You can gradually gain control over how you spend your time and energy. And you can even do so with financial constraints. But as you remove the financial constraints gradually, then it's sort of, you free yourself from having to consider money or income as sometimes the main criteria for choosing what to do next in life or how to deal with certain things in life. So to me, financial independence is a journey. It is often referred to as the goal itself, right? The fact that we become financially independent, as in I can quit my job and never have to work again because I've set up my financial system, personal finances in a way that I have income for the rest of my life and I don't have to work, which is the situation I'm in, right? So that's often how it is portrayed. I think how it is communicated, and I think it makes sense in the sense that, yes, it is a status, right? You can say I am financially independent. Then you have to explain a bit what that means, no? Independent from what? Because there's obviously, as I said, there's different levels. But this is the most common one, is not having to work for money. But really, I say it's a journey because it starts from the moment you think about financial independence or you think about your own personal financial security and you take a step forward, right? It starts at that point because the moment you realize that you can actually make a difference in your life, in your personal situation, and you can improve that situation by making some changes to your personal finances, this is where financial independence starts, right? It's just realizing that we are not completely dependent on the system, on the markets, on the government, on our employers, on our clients, or whatever. We do have some choices that we can make to improve our situation despite all the external factors, right? And it's really working with those external factors and figuring out how to use them in an optimal way so that we can improve our lives. That is, to me, the first step, is really taking ownership of your situation, taking ownership of your future and saying, yes, I can do something and yes, I can move forward. And I'm saying this is the first step. I would say that most people who listen to this podcast will say, well, we'll already have that, right? But I wanted to insist on it is that you probably know people who keep saying, yes, but for me, it's not possible. For me, no, in my market, it's impossible. Like I work in this kind of field. That's not possible. You know, like everyone in my field is doomed to be poor forever. There's nothing we can do. We're stuck in here. It's controlled by whatever, big actor market or the government, or it's unfair because, and so my life is like this. And that is a state that some people are in, right? And I've had that reaction to, obviously, when I explained, hey, you know, this is what we do in financial independence, in the FIRE community, this is how we think about money, this is what we do. And, you know, there's something there to learn for everyone. And sometimes the reaction is, Ah, yes, but I am da 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 da, and I am in this environment, and so for us it's impossible, or for me, and that makes me sad a bit, right? It makes me sad because I know that just figuring, like realizing that you can take control, can change everything, because you take a first step, and then you take another step, and all of a sudden you've improved your situation, and then you're getting more security. Then at some point you start building actual freedom. You start making better choices, or having better choices available to you, because you've managed to build up a little bit of safety. But it has to start from, oh, actually I can do something a little bit. And I think it does come a bit with this ambition that people have or don't have. But I would say it's possible for most people to move from, I don't know, actually, I think the biggest obstacle to someone actually looking at financial independence and saying, hey, I can improve my situation, is that mindset piece, right? It's like saying, oh, no, for me, it's not possible. Moving to, okay, so yes, Sebastian's story is crazy. And, you know, obviously he's had so many things that worked for him in that direction. Often that's obviously that reflects really my situation is very unique, right? So it's admitting that, yes, it is crazy. It's fine. But hey, you know, how is he handling his expenses? How come he doesn't have to spend this thousands and thousands on everyday living stuff? Or how does he handle his savings? Like where does he invest? And maybe I can invest like that too. And so I think that's the mindset change that to me is really important. It's, and I'm wondering actually how, how to communicate on that. And you know, if you have ideas, I'd love to hear from you, either in the comments or in the community. Let me know, like, how would you speak to someone who sort of the moment you talk about considering even the idea of improving their financial situation, they come up with a million different reasons as to why not. Like, that is something that I'm still, I guess, struggling with. So if you have any tips on that, let me know. I'd love to hear from you. So yeah, to me, that's sort of the first, that's where the journey begins. And then financial independence is really the whole journey, right? The moment you figure out that this is an option and you start saving, right? And you start improving your situation, paying off your debts and putting money aside and learning how to invest in one way or another. Every time you save a euro or a dollar or whatever the currency you're using, and you keep it for yourself and you build your financial security, you become more financially independent. You become more powerful. You regain control. And I think to me, that is the journey, right? It's like each step of it, you simply improve your financial independence until the point where you get to a level of financial independence. So it's not the only level of financial independence. It's one of the levels of financial independence where you have the choice to keep working full-time or not. And you can make those similar decisions earlier, right? You can move to part-time work much earlier than completely quitting, right? Or you can move to a different career or type of work that pays less but gives you more meaning. And this is also financial independence. It's being able to make those choices because we have the financial security, the financial freedom behind it that allows us to make choices like that, go part-time, right? So to me, this is a spectrum, right? Financial independence is a journey because at each step we just build. And not everybody needs to go all the way to, hey, I don't have to work anymore for the rest of my life. Some of us would be very happy with financial independence level where they really have more control over their career, how much time they spend doing certain things and what kind of work they do. And that, I think, is amazing. If this is the way you get the benefits of financial independence much earlier in your life, instead of having to look at the calculator and say, oh my God, it's going to take 15, 20 years or more. Is it even worth trying? And yes, like the answer is yes, because at every step you improve the situation. It's not about quitting job completely. It's about improving your situation and making, you know, better choices or having better choices. Yeah, so that's the journey to me. Now let's talk about the benefits of financial independence, which, as you can imagine, are there's many. And then depending on how long that takes, we might continue with the next section, or we'll talk about the next section in another episode. Let's see. So the benefits of financial independence, as I said, we don't need to wait until we achieve FIRE to benefit from it, right? Yes, it's very alluring, right? Oh, I'm going to start working and then I'm going to travel the world and I'm going to spend all time on all of these hobbies and all the dreams that you might have when you don't have to work. Although some people have a hard time thinking about those, by the way. Maybe you just don't want to go to work because you don't like your job for whatever reason. And the benefit is that of financial independence without having to get to that is that you can already make changes before, right? That's important. If you don't like your job, don't wait until you're fired or financially independent to change or to make changes and improve that. Absolutely don't wait. Like you have to, like the people who are on the journey to financial independence are also the people who realize that today is all we have and making changes today is really important. And we don't want to sacrifice everything for the someday maybe in the future, right? All right, so as I said, the benefits of financial independence, they start from the beginning and it builds up gradually, right? Step by step. So here are some of the benefits. With financial independence, you get a greater sense of security. Obviously financial security, but that extends to other aspects of life as well. So for example, if something unusual happens and it's expensive and you didn't have it planned for you, it was not in your regular expenses, you didn't plan for it. Having savings helps. It's very obvious. But say you have a car breakdown and you need major repair on your car and it's not covered by insurance, or you have to get a new one because something happened to which the one you had. For some people, that is a major financial event, and having some savings and being on the path to financial independence completely frees you up from the stress that comes with it, and the potential, you know, financial repercussion negatively. Like you don't have to go into debt, for example. You have to take an emergency trip because you have to go see someone somewhere because something happened. Someone falling ill or something like this, to take an emergency trip or even have to take a break from work and go to even unpaid leave because you want to take care of somebody you love. Like you have now a bit more choice. Like it's a greater sense of security in the sense that these things, you will feel more prepared in case something unexpected happens, right? If you have house repairs to do and you didn't plan for them, or even just regular unemployment, right? If that happens, when you're on the way to financial independence, it's a lot less stressful because you know you have a plan, you know you have financial runway, you know you can last without an income, right? Even if you have social security that kicks in and employment and all these benefits, it feels good to know that you're not it's not a major disaster like it could have been if you didn't have your savings, right? So as you progress on that journey, that sense of security grows, right? Towards the end of my own career, I was in the position where I wasn't going to be fired, but I was in the position, and this is going to link to something we'll talk about later, but where I was okay to walk away from my job if the situation was really hard, right? And that gives you negotiating power, which we can discuss soon. but basically, you're not afraid of unemployment, even if you don't have the employment benefits. This is amazing, having that power in the job market and with your employer, generally for your own self-well-being. another benefit that comes alongside the security is a greater peace of mind and confidence. So when money is not an issue, we're more relaxed. Money is one of the top reasons relationships fail, right? And it's something that research has shown, right? And it's people know about this. Yet we don't talk much about money and how to deal with it so that we don't suffer in our relationships, which, relationships are a core aspect of our lives, like a major piece of our life. And having money as a stress factor in relationships is not something good. And so as you progress towards financial independence, you basically build yourself, you put yourself in a position where you're better set up for relationships, existing relationships, future relationships. You're just better because it's more at peace, right? Typically, if you are on the path to financial independence, you're also more open about discussing finances with your partner, and that can solve a lot of problems like ahead of them happening. Peace of mind and confidence in your relationship, but also at work, as we said, if you're not afraid of losing your income, whether it's from an employer or from a client, you're more relaxed, you're more confident, you can be more yourself, you can be more productive in those cases. and more true to the values, and you can focus more on what's important rather than what's urgent, right? There's a bunch of benefits that come with this. I think another part of confidence is when you know that you've set up your own personal life, the financial parts at least, you have a personal finance system, so you have a way to dealing with your money that is good, that works for you almost no matter what happens. It gives you confidence, especially knowing that for most people, that's not the case, right? So for me, for a very long time, when I was in my 20s and even before, I thought, you know, all the people in their 50s and 60s, they've got all of this stuff figured out. Like they're, you know, they've learned about investing, they have savings aside, they have a plan for their pension, and like they've figured it out. And they know what they're talking about because, you know, they're older, so hopefully they're wise at that point. But that's not true. Like most people with whom I've talked about personal finance, it doesn't really matter what age they were. They didn't really have a plan. Like they were confused. They were afraid of the future. They were very, sometimes worried about like having enough or what would happen if, and it's just because they haven't spent a bit of time figuring it out. And yeah, so when you have that and you have that confidence that you have a good system, that you know that you're saving enough so that you're safe if something happens, that you know that you figure out a way to invest that is evidence-based, which is what I like, that it's, you know, it's based on evidence and it's solid and it's efficient and it does better than what most people are doing, for example, leaving money on their savings accounts if, you know, when they shouldn't. That gives you confidence, and it's insane. Like at least, you know, it played a big role in my personal self-confidence. And that reflects in everything I do. It did back then when I was just going through this, just learning all of this. Like I had incredible confidence, even in environments where I shouldn't, because I had control. I have figured out something really important that I knew most people didn't. Whether that was with my bosses, clients, colleagues, friends and family, like, I was confident because I had this thing figured out, which was insane. And at first I thought most people would have it, but as I was going through a journey, I realized most people have no idea. And it's a superpower, right? And when you have that superpower, it's so much easier to go through life because you have this superpower that's just carrying you. It's amazing. And yes, you can't shoot, you can't shoot lasers from your eyes, but you have a plan that sets you on a very positive path, you know, in a world where a lot of people are struggling with money. You have something because you've spent some time, you've decided to take control, you own this thing, and it's working for you. And almost no matter what happens, even if the market crashes, whatever happens, even if you lose your job, like because you have the plan, you're confident. Like it gives you opportunities, it gives you options, and it's amazing. Like I don't know, I experienced this, and I loved it, and I still enjoy it a lot. And I'm wishing that for you, right? Anyway, so this is certainly one of the main reasons I want to share this. It's like, it's really like this confidence helped me so much. And it came from just, all right, figuring out the basics of personal finance. It's super simple. And so I want that for everyone. Anyway, some other benefits, which we touched upon earlier, better position to negotiate. So when you have good financial security, you're in a better position to discuss in situations where you disagree with someone with whom you have a financial relationship, for say, for example, your employer or clients. When you have safety and you depend on the income, but not only on the income, and you have a strong alternative, which is, for example, just walk away and wait for a better opportunity without the risk of running out of money. That is a very strong position to be in when you have to negotiate, whether it's with your employer or clients or whatever, because in negotiation often is the person who has the best second option, the best backup plan, that is in the best situation to negotiate and basically set the terms or sort of influence terms of the discussion. So actually when you are financially safe and you're discussing with clients or employers, it doesn't hurt to say, hey, you know, I'm like money-wise, I'm okay. So I'm not really stressed if this doesn't go the way I need it to be. there's a good way of saying this. I don't know if these are the right words. But what I'm saying is it can help if the person with whom you're speaking knows that you're not, you don't absolutely need this to work for you to be like to accept, right? You have a certain threshold under which you'll say no, because it's fine. You'll be okay without it. And I think this can help a lot. I didn't exactly use it that way in terms of negotiations when for salary, for example, but I did use it when it came to the choice of work, right? So I was financially okay, and sort of my colleagues and my friends knew about it because I was speaking about financial independence. So obviously people start understanding that, yes, I'm managing money, my own. And I think at work, I earned the respect from in the terms of how I deliver on work at projects, like dealing with the hardest clients and the most difficult conditions. And also because I had this, you know, I had proven myself there and I had my solid financial security, I had a strong like influence on what I was going to do next. But I could basically choose my next projects in a much stronger way than if I was dependent on the income, and where I probably wouldn't have been able to speak up and say, hey, this is what I want to do, even though, you know, it's different from whatever, you know, you want exactly, right? It still works, but I have a strong position to say, this is the way I want things to go. So certainly financial independence at any level, even some savings, will give you better position for negotiation. And that's with the employer, but also a negotiation with yourself. So you're in a better position to take decisions, because gradually you can move money away from the list of important factors to consider when you make a decision. Yes, it's still very important on the journey for most people, especially if you're aiming for a specific goal. You still want money to be a main criteria, in the sense, hey, obviously the more I earn, the faster I get there, yes. But you also have other criteria that start being more important, right? Your values, your core values. You can say no more because you have security, right? You can basically stick to your values stronger as you progress on the journey. And then obviously, once you don't need any money, you make most decisions based on your values. And money is sort of one of the criteria that are potentially there that is used because it's good resources to have, but not necessarily as the main thing that decides what you do next, right? And like I'm experiencing this. What is my, you know, how do I choose what I do next in my life? Well, if I was after money, I'd probably have stayed in my job because towards the end I was making good money, right? And there's no way I can replicate this through other activity. Like, it's very hard for me to replicate this through any other kind of activity. but I stopped. I quit my job, and I was very happy to do that because I was making decisions about my time and my energy, not based on money anymore. I was like, okay, I want to spend time with my family. So, you know, I was abroad. So coming back to Belgium, being close to my parents who are getting older, was a major factor in deciding to stop and to move and to basically do that. And spend time with my wife's family was very important. We spent a lot of time in Poland. Spending time with my kids was super important. That's what I do most of the time. I'm with my two boys. One of them is going to school now. The other one's still at home. Spend a lot of time with both of them. And it's amazing. Like, it's just, these are important. Like, these are important things that would be impossible for me to do if I was on the trajectory where money is the main criteria. I would still be out there doing work for crazy clients in crazy environment that is well paid. And that's how I made money on my side. And if I was after money, that's what I would be doing. But I don't have to. So I have the choice, and I can make those decisions now as well for myself. Like, what are my criteria to decide what to do next in my time? Well, money is not one of them as the core, right? Money can play a role in the sense that money creates resources that allow you to do more of the stuff that's really important. But that's not the key driver, right? First, I align with my values. And then if there's money involved because I need it for some other stuff, then yes, it comes along. But that's certainly not how I decide what to do in my life. So make better decisions. And finally, which is what we were discussing right now, it gives you greater control over your time, right? So as you progress on financial independence and as you can make better decisions, basically gain control back on your time. And in the grand scheme of things, financial independence is like, yes, you can save years or even decades of life of having to go to work almost on a mandatory basis for income. if you optimize your personal finances, there's a way for you to not have to do that for the last, whatever, 1, 2, 5, 10, 20 years of your life and gain that back, right? That's probably the most insane life hack that I've ever heard of, no? It's buying back your time from having to go to work every day for whatever, years or decades. But that doesn't only apply at that level. It applies also on the journey to financial independence. As you make those choices, as you have this control and better security and confidence, then you can also take time for things that matter to you and adjust your way of living because you have security, because you have already some level of freedom. Take a break. Like, spend time with the people you love, right? Don't wait until you're financially independent. For me, it's a blessing that it happened before our kids were born, right? It's such an insanely good coincidence in the sense that, yes, of course, I'm going to take time for them now. I don't even need work, right? But I think this can be applied at any level. Like, if you have kids and you already have some financial stability and you value time with your kids, because not everybody does, that's completely okay. I completely respect that. If you do, then consider taking time with them. Consider being there for those really important moments. Consider going part-time to be there a bit more throughout, you know, their years that they are going to be at home, right? There's something about adulthood where just people move away from their parents and they see them less and less as everyone grows older. So when they're young is a good time to be with them. And so, you know, I don't know how I would have handled this if I still had to work while they were young. I would think it would have depended on how far the goal is. If it was close, I would have probably said, okay, you know what? It's going to be hard for a couple more years, but then I'll be there with them because I won't be able, I'll stop working. But if my timeline was like 10 years, like I have to work for another 10 years, I would have probably been, I think I would have been okay to say, it's fine to postpone this a bit, right? I'll work longer, but I'll work less on the way because I want time for the stuff that matters to me in my life right now, my kids, my family, my parents, my wife, right? I think I would have gone that way. But again, depends on sort of your goals, or how close the financial independence goal is, if that's one of yours. I think I would have, I would have considered that, yeah. So financial independence, you gain back control over your time, your energy, you make better decisions. You're in a better position for negotiation. You have greater sense of security, which gives you peace of mind, which gives you confidence, which can help you in so many other areas of your life. Like, I have experienced this. I feel blessed and like fulfilled even to be able to do this now, this podcast. It is something, it takes more time than I thought, and it would just not be possible if I had the job. A lot of people do it, right? Completely okay. But it's because it comes in the right priority for them and it works. But for me, with my family, my other little projects and the different things I do, even not having to work, this was hard to fit in. But now that I'm doing this, I know it's because I've been blessed with this current situation. And I'm glad I can do this. I'm glad I can do this because I think this can help people. So I'm hoping it will help you. I'm hoping this can help other people. Like, if you feel like this is an important message for others, your loved ones, friends, family, colleagues, like just send them this episode, right? To me, if you enjoy this content, if you enjoy my work so far and what's coming in the future, the biggest thing you can do for me is share it with people and tell them about this and tell them that they too can make some changes. They too can benefit. And sometimes all they need is just hear about it once with the right message, right? And sometimes all they need is just to hear about it one more time because they've probably seen it here and heard about it there, but there might be the kind of people say, oh, this is for someone else. I'm busy with this. They have maybe, you know, different reasons why not now or why not me. But one more touch might be all they need. So obviously I'm trying to reach as many people as possible. So it would also help me a lot. And I would appreciate if you would kindly share this episode. Aside from that, I think we're going to stop here. I have a lot more to say on financial independence, but that's going to have to wait for another episode. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. Let me know what you think. Give me good reviews if it's already in places where it can be reviewed and rated. And I hope to see you in the next episode.